Please be seated. On August 23rd, 2011, Louisa County, Virginia, was rocked by a magnitude 5.8 earthquake. We expect such seismic activity in this part of the world, but we rarely think about it happening in places like the Eastern Seashore. Earthquakes in Virginia are rare. However, due to the geological nature of the Eastern Seaboard, the quake shocks were felt as far as Florida and Ontario. It was particularly sad, not just for Episcopalians, but for many Christians, to see the damage that this quake did to the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul, better known as the National Cathedral. Who could have envisioned the pinnacles of the towers crashing into the pavement below, or great towers completely twisted? The earthquake only lasted 10 to 15 seconds, but in that time, a tremendous amount of damage was done. Who could have imagined? Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." Jesus was referring, of course, to the greatest building project of his day and time, Herod's temple in Jerusalem. This massive renovation began around 20 BCE and expanded the Temple Mount complex far beyond what King Solomon had envisioned. While the temple itself was completed in less than 2 years, the outer structures and the courtyards took about 80 years to complete, only to be utterly destroyed by 70 AD by Roman legions under the command of Titus. It would have been hard, if not impossible, for the disciples to imagine the complete destruction of such a massive building, the most holy place of the Jewish faith. Unfortunately for us, this passage hits a little too close to home. It isn't difficult for us to ponder that the place where we worship today could one day be in ruin. And so we do all that we can to ensure this sacred place will stand for generations, to proclaim God's ultimate victory over death and destruction in all its forms. For we have witnessed a glimpse of such destruction in our own day with the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon of 9/11. Catastrophic destruction leads to collective trauma and lingering anxiety that has been stirred in the past few days in the wake of Thursday's attack in Kenya and Friday's attack in Paris. Perhaps it is our deep angst in knowing our own mortality that leads us to seek permanence in the things of this world. Buildings, ships, corporate businesses, political empires, families. God has placed a deep-seated need to create something that will transcend the finitude of our earthly lives. Jesus' teachings today remind us of the impermanence of all the structures of this world. All will be thrown down. Jesus cuts straight to our desire for immortality with these disquieting words. Words that echo the great prophetic tradition of the Jewish people. No doubt this raised anxiety for his disciples who pressed him for answers of when will this be? They pressed him for signs of the end. In Jesus' day, and even in this day, there are plenty of people who look for signs, as if knowing when the end will come will somehow change its coming. Our faith and science tell us that there will be a time when all things come to an end. Does knowing exactly when it will happen really give us any mastery over it? So Jesus does not give specifics as to when the end will come, nor does he tell them exactly what will happen. He tells them that there will be upheavals of many kinds, but he clearly says that these are the beginnings of the birth pangs, not signs of the end of all things. The things that Jesus describes, wars and rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, were all occurring in his day and still occur today. We might wonder when the birth pangs will be done. Certainly, as Mark wrote this gospel in the shadow of the temple's destruction and amidst severe persecution of the Christian community, this disquieting apocalyptic narrative seems to fit the unrest of his times. But what about us? We live in the relative comfort of the United States in the 21st century. While we have relative comfort compared to Mark's community, not sure who Mike is, I didn't read that gospel yet, compared to Mark's community, we do live in a highly anxious society where the messages we hear all around us center on being afraid. Be afraid of natural disaster. Be afraid of terrorism. Be afraid of the world's response to it. Be afraid of the economy collapsing. Be afraid of losing our jobs. Be afraid of losing our health. Be afraid of losing our economic security. Be afraid of our children's future. The list is endless. Just this morning while I was brushing my teeth and listening to the former head of NATO respond to Friday's attacks, I said to Allison, "It's very scary, isn't it?" We are afraid that our neatly constructed lives will all be thrown down. So we can live in captivity to that fear. And when we live in captivity to that fear, we never really live. We never really live. In the larger context of Mark's gospel, these words from Jesus come just before he enters Jerusalem to be crucified. These words about the destruction of the temple and the upheavals to come are a prefiguring of his own death, the very destruction of his own body, the temple of God. All will be thrown down is a promise that all of the things of this world will fall apart, disintegrate, and die. However, within the broader context of this chapter of Mark's gospel, Jesus reminds us that our job is not to know exactly what will happen, how it will happen, or when it will happen. Our job is to be faithful, patient, and keep awake, because God is working out the plan of salvation, even now, and has not abandoned us. It will be all right, because God's redemptive purposes are always at work, just as they were on the cross. This isn't to say that things will be easy and that hardship and suffering won't befall us. It isn't an empty optimism promising that things will get better for our lives. They may or may not. It is a promise that God is with us and God is in charge regardless. Christ promises that all things will be all right because God has the last word. God has the last word. When death on the cross appeared to be the end, God had the last word at an empty tomb. Throughout our lives, we experience death and resurrection many times over as the neatly arranged structures of our lives are thrown down. These apocalyptic words of Jesus remind us to hang on and to place our trust in something more than ourselves, our possessions, our relationships, our health, our capacities, our intellect, the things of our creation. It is to place our ultimate trust in the one from whom all things come. It is to accept our finitude and mortality in a radical trust of God's unchangeable grace and goodness, so that we might be freed from the captivity of anxious fear and finally live. And finally live freely and fully as God's beloved children. Amen.